Chulavedala Sutta, Lesser Discourse of the Miserable. Thus have I heard, at one time the Lord was staying near Rajagaha in the bamboo grove at the squirrel's feeding place. Then the lay follower Visakha approached the nun Dhammadinna. Having greeted the nun Dhammadinna, he sat down at respectful distance. As he was sitting down at respectful distance, the lay follower Visakha spoke thus to the nun Dhammadinna. That Visakha was the husband of the monk nun Dhammadinna. So, lady, it is said, own body. Now, lady, what is called own body by the Lord? His own body is Sakkaya. Sakkaya is the own body in Pali. Friend Visakha, these five groups of grasping are called own body by the Lord. That is to say, the group of grasping after material shape, the group of grasping after feeling, the group of grasping after perception, the group of grasping after habitual tendencies, the group of grasping after consciousness. These five groups of grasping, friend Visakha, are called own body by the Lord. So, Sakkaya, or the own body, is this five aggregates subject to clinging. It is good lady, and the lay follower Visakha, having rejoiced in what Dhammadinna had said, having thanked her, asked the nun Dhammadinna a further question. Lady, it is said the uprising of own body. The uprising of own body. Now, lady, what is called the uprising of own body by the Lord? That is Sakkaya Samudaya, the arising. Whatever, friend Visakha, is the craving connected with again becoming, accompanied by delight and attachment, finding delight in this and that, namely the craving for sense pleasures, the craving for becoming, the craving for annihilation, this, friend Visakha, is called the uprising of own body. So, that is this Kama Tanna, Bhava Tanna, Vibhava Tanna. Those three cravings, this craving for becoming, craving for annihilation, craving for sense pleasures, these are the ones, the uprising of the own body, that is leading to the origin of this body. So, we know about the sense pleasures, that is, this, there are five strands of sense pleasures. The there is this the form that is agreeable and enticing to the eye, and then the sound, agreeable and enticing the eye, ear and nose, tongue, body and mind. So regarding those five, that we think about these things. So this, there is this sensual pleasure because of that. And so the karma is that the sankaparaga, or that the for that thought that arise depending on the eye and the form, that there is this lust for that consciousness. So that is this karma. And in the bhava tanha, is that craving for becoming. And it's normally explained in Vibhanga as the lusting or passion, infatuation of consciousness accompanied by becoming wave. So it is that same sense pleasures that we perceive before lead to this sort of condition as well. So let's say I have eaten some food before, and it is tasty, and then so I have this lustful feeling about that, you know, the sensual desire, and then becoming this the craving for this sensual desire, this particular food, and so that we get this body tie of covetousness for that thing. And then there's this lust that arise depending on this thing. And then our mind sort of fold into that form, the consciousness fold into that form. So having gone through this process, and we accumulated something in that, and then next day, let's say we see the same food somewhere, and then our mind produces this thing, you know, this is the food that you have eaten, and this is the taste and so on, and this is the perception. So it's mind plays its part. So now you have not eaten that particular food at this food, but you have eaten something similar. So because of this, so now you want to have that one. So the pleasure is generated from the mind. And when the pleasure arises, we go through that second path, where that contact as the nutriment, we go through this path. So since it is pleasurable, I am happy before, I am happy now, then I will hold the future that I want this one for the future as well. So I grasp this one for the future. I want to be, it is something like that, that everything is fine for me now, and I am holding the future. So that is the craving for becoming.
It is the same thing we are talking about in the Patiksa Upada, it is the same thing, right?
Well, Bhava has got two things. One thing is that one is called Kamma Bhava, the other one is Upapapti Bhava. The Kamma Bhava is that when you have eaten that food before, and now you accumulated some Kamma, that it went through that path that I ate it, it's tasty for me, and I got the pleasurable feeling, I pursue the pleasurable feeling. Because I pursue the pleasurable feeling, that I have the perception of pleasure, that there is volition regarding that one. So the perception led to volition, the chetana. So that is Kamma Bhava. Right? The other bhava is that I went through that the first path where I have this craving for this thing, and I am got the body tie of covetousness and so on. Having gone through that one, it's that it's, let's say, an example that let's say you have eaten hoppers before, and someone is sort of the hopper man is now announcing hoppers, right? You are walking by and he's announcing hoppers. So I, by that time, I will be grabbing that one. I'm claiming that is to be mine. This is mine. You know, let this be mine, or this is mine, sort of thing. That's why we use our purse at that time and do that one. So the upadana paccaya bhava is that I am sort of clinging to that same object, and I'm like, it's like a bondage between that object and myself, and I'm claiming it to be mine, and I want that one to be mine. The Kamma Bhava actually created this scenario, and I am grabbing and clinging and holding to it at that time. So that is the Upadana Paccaya Bhava. So there are two different things, and because of this Upadana thing, the clinging, that we will be born according to that thing. See, that if I want to have hoppers, then I want to have a form that can consume hoppers. So if I don't have that sort of feeling, well, then I may not be in this world, some other world. So there are two paths in that one. So there is this craving for becoming, and then there is craving for non-becoming, the vibhavatana. This is the one that is sort of very hard to understand for many. It's the explanation is that in the Vibhanga again, is this lusting, infatuation of consciousness accompanied by nihilistic view, alienationistic view, that I do not want this one or something. So when it is said in that way, it's sort of difficult to see why I don't want that, and but I want to become, sort of. This is non-becoming. So it's easy to understand. This is not one of my explanations. It's one of those Agnita Brahmarala beings explanation. It is that this, let's say someone got Sakai, the view of the body. I have a view of the body. And while I maintain that view of the body, that I want to finish the whole thing, but I still maintain the view of the body. The view that is, remember, the body we are talking about, Sakkaya, is the clinging, by aggregate of clinging to this matter, feeling, perception, volition, formation, and consciousness. While I'm maintaining that one, that I exist, Sakkaya, that is this one exists, I think that I can end these things while I maintain that view. So you can see that that's why people with this view go from be born in the other worlds as well. So I don't want the matter, I get rid of the matter. I don't want the feeling, I get rid of the feeling. And so eventually eliminating each one of them and thinking that, you know, I'm finished. But the view still exists. So because of the view, he'll be born. So
that means he doesn't want the rupa thing.
Well, he doesn't want the rupa or the form or the feeling or perception, those things.
He still wants to be born.
Well, he does not know that he does not want to be born. He got the view that, you know, he does not know that it exists within him. So that's the best explanation I could actually understood this.
But that person doesn't know that
he does not know. He does not know that he has got this clinging for these things, all those things, and therefore I have the view of the self. You see that the view of if someone has got the animalistic view, that is actually embedded in this view of the self itself. It is not.
Has eradicated his matter, feeling, perception, and consciousness. If he doesn't have, does have the clinging.
Yeah, it is the practice that led him to get rid of that one at that time. He did not eradicate completely. He suppressed it. You see that I look at the matter and I'm disgusted about the matter. I don't want this sort of form. I see this one is like a, you know, the bad, you know, crappy stuff over here. I don't want this form. So then he's attaining the fifth jhana concentration, that space is infinite, right? And then he doesn't want that one as well. So he's going to the consciousness is infinite. So he removed one at a time because of the method. He got the method how to get that this thing, because of he's doing that one for many times. And so, but he thinks that he got rid of it.
But is that what he thinks is, if that person get rid of this whole body and the feelings and whatever that he has attached to this body, if we get rid of these things in this birth or something like that, that's the end of the power. That's what he
says. Yeah, something like that. He thinks that if I get rid of this, I mean, he's not actually getting rid of the attachment to the form either. He's skillful in suppressing that one, not paying attention to it. Anyone can do that. Buddha said in he says it's easy for someone to think about the body. And because it's, you know, some people are dying in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you know, like that one, and this, what is this, and one can actually get rid of it. So what Buddha said is difficult to get rid of is the mind. That's because mind has been there for a long time with us in that way. So lady, it is said the stopping of the own body, the stopping of own body. Now lady, what is called the stopping of own body by the Lord? Whatever friend Visakha is the stopping with no attachment remaining of that self, same craving, the giving up of it, the renunciation of it, the release from it, the doing away with it, This friend Visakha is the stopping of own body by the Lord. So tanha. So if the craving completely eradicated, then one would not be getting this. That is sakkaya nirodha we are talking about over here. Stopping of the body is that. And tanhaya asesa viraga nirodho chago pati nissaggo mukti analayo. So whatever the clinging for, that one is completely giving up. That is the stopping of the own body. So this is actually Samadhi Bhavana Sutra. In other words, that you know, the cessation part of that one, Astangana. And lady, it is said the cause leading to the stopping of the own body. So the cause leading to the stopping of own body. Now lady, what is called the cause leading to the stopping of own body by the Lord? This RN Eightfold Way itself, friend Visakha, is called the cause leading to the stopping of own body by the Lord. That is to say, the right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right way of living, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. So you can see that the birth is suffering, aging is suffering, that path is now we are talking about as the five aggregates of clinging itself. And then the arising phenomena of the five aggregate of clinging is this craving, craving for becoming, craving for non-becoming. And then the cessation part is not having those three, cessation of that. And then the path leading to cessation is this one. So this is simply the right view. Do these five groups of grasping lady comprise the whole of grasping? Or is there grasping apart from the five groups of grasping? Is this the whole thing? So no, friend Visakha, these five groups of grasping, the whole group of grasping. And there is no grasping apart from the five group of grasping. Whatever, friend Visakha, is the attachment and desire for the five group of grasping, that is grasping after them. So basically, if I say that my five group of grasping is the whole of grasping, that is not true, because it is you, what you are clinging is different to what I am clinging. But still, if someone asks, the classification is matter, feeling, perception, volitional information and consciousness. So everything is included in that one.
Different people clinging to
different things.
Within that five.
Yeah, within that five. But how lady does there come to be a wrong view as to own body? In this case, friend Visakha, an uninstructed average person, taking no count of the pure one, not skilled in the Dhamma of the pure ones, untrained in the Dhamma of the pure ones, taking no count of true men, not skilled in the Dhamma of the true men, untrained in Dhamma of the true men, regards material shape as self, or self as having material shapes, or material shapes as in self, or self as in material shape. He regards feeling as self. He regards perception as self. He regards the habitual tendencies as self. He regards consciousness as self, or self as having consciousness, or consciousness as in self, or self as in consciousness. Thus, friend Visakha, does there come to be wrong view as to own body?
So the habitual tendencies and the volitional formations are the same?
They are the same. Yeah, they are the same. So what... That means that normal person who has not seen Buddha or Aryan, so not trained in that discipline, they regards that the form as self, this matter that I have from here to here, that I regard this one as self. This I am this is mine, and so on. And so that's how we get the wrong view, by regarding this as myself. So as opposed to that, this is constructed. If someone does not know this is constructed, you know, this whole thing by my clinging and so on, then he would regard this, who are you or what I am, all those things, that this is this, I am here, sort of thing. Now, if you look at the Paraleya Sutta, we discussed this one before as well. Buddha said one regards form as self, that regarding is a formation, sanskara. If I regard something as self, that regarding itself is a formation. So that's how I create the sanskara. And then Buddha asks how this sanskara or the formation what's the origin of this formation? The formation, Buddha said that it is that there is this contact. Contact to be felt as pleasurable. The ignorant contact to be felt as pleasurable. One would cling to that feeling that has arisen. Therefore the craving arises. Because of that, this formation was born. So sanskara was formed because of that person just held contact, in ignorant contact. Ignorant contact is that he does not know the impermanent nature of this one. The rising phenomena, passing away phenomena, suffering, nothing is known that by that person. So if he does not know that, because of that ignorant contact, he got a feeling. Feeling was actually constructed itself. He does not know that it is constructed. And so he cling to that craving. So if someone actually understands that the form is impermanent, that the contact is impermanent, that feeling that has arisen is impermanent, and the volition formation, the craving is impermanent, then for that person that the volitional formation does not come to arise, that it will be the ending of that whole thing. Then one would attain by doing that.
So people like us, now we confront Vajrasthi talk every time, every week, etc. And to get out of that one, or getting rid of this
weaves
and lots of things, what we should follow is what is called this
Yonisomas, wise attention.
That means the Siddha Sutta.
Yes.
Yeah. So every time when we, for example, I have seen some particular object which is pleasurable or special, and I need to look at in that Siddha Sutta, what I explained that way, and get out of that the pressure I get right from, and so on. That is to give me the true picture of that.
Yeah, so you are actually removing the wrong view, that this pleasure, you won't be clinging to that pleasure, and you also know that pleasure is also constructed. So there is that view that this is constructed, as opposed to that I am. So the view is broken by doing that contemplation. So you
same.
Got
to... No, it's the same if you have like pleasurable things you tend to cling to, or unpleasurable things you have an aversion from, you need to look at the contact, reach, and what arises.
Yeah,
from it.
Yeah.
So,
if you have the displeasure, that means that there was something that you like. It opposed to that one, there is something that you are clinging to. So you need to find the source of that thing. So I like this person to behave this way, but that person is behaving this way. Like that you can see that there is the opposite of this thing is there that you are clinging to. So you are actually claiming at that time when you get the displeasure feeling, I want that, I got this, I want that, I got this sort of scenario.
And it's also a third class of things where you have the perception, the contact, and it doesn't lead to pleasure or displeasure, but it can lead to ignorance.
That's the neutral feeling.
So even those ones we have.
Yes, yeah, all of them got to be got rid of. But the starting point is the pleasurable one. Why I am angry today is because I used to have such instance that was pleasurable before. So the pleasure originated this one. Now the pleasure ceases, that's why I got this displeasure. And so I am actually, I want to have that pleasure. So,
but neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable. It could be equanimity or it could be ignorance. And
neither pleasurable, yes, that's right. Neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable one. It's a mundane level. It's, let's say that I got this chair and it's not comfortable, no uncomfortable. So I have the ignorance over here that I am not thinking about the impermanent nature of anything like that one. So it doesn't go beyond this chair. So I go neutral feeling regarding this chair, but not for the comfortable ones over there. So that's why Buddha said that the neither pleasurable nor non-pleasurable feeling in the household feeling, that kind of feeling is that not exceeding that particular object. So it's the ignorant over there. He does not know the arising phenomena, passing away phenomena, and all those things regarding that. So there is a good one that, as Padmasiri said, that if someone contemplate about the impermanent nature and so on, then one would reach that equanimity. So that one applying to everything, for this chair, the other chair, all the chairs in the world. So then that's the good one. So there is no ignorance. Ignorance does not lie latent in that one, and it is actually explained in this discourse later on as well. So, but how lady does that not come to be wrong view as to own body? In this case, friend Visakha, an instructed disciple of the pure ones, taking out of the pure ones, skill in the Dhamma of the pure ones, well training Dhamma of the pure ones, taking count of two men, skill in Dhamma of the two men, well training the Dhamma of the two men, does not regard material shape as self, or self as self, no self as having material shape, no material shape as in self, no self as in material shape. He does not regard feeling, perception, volitional formation and consciousness, any one of them as self or these things as in self. This friend Visakha, does there come not to be wrong view as to own body? You see that the whole thing about the regarding self is something to do with the craving, something to do with the grasping. That's the concept one need to understand. There is this contact, there was this feeling, and then we pursue that feeling to be pleasurable, and then we got the volition that this is mine. This feeling, because it was constructed from my previous experience, it's like some sort of packet just arrived. So the feeling, perception, all constructed. He does not know that this was actually constructed. Therefore, he goes with that one and claiming it to be mine. I'm happy with that one. I'm happy to reconstruct again and again. So that this instructed person, he knows that how these things come to arise. That these things come to arise because one seeks delight in these things, welcomes it, remain holding to it. Therefore, these things come to arise. So having known that, then he look at it different way each time, because having contemplated before, and so he does not regard these things as mine. But what lady is the RN Eightfold Way? This friend Visakha is the RN Eightfold Way. That is to say, right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right way of living, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. But lady, is the RN Eightfold Way composites or incomposite? That is, whether it is constructed. See, that there is only one thing that is not constructed in the world. We say sankata, sankata. That is nibba. Anything else is constructed. If you think about the world, everything else in the world that your world you think about is constructed, sankata. We arise with some sort of a condition. Ceases with that condition, ceases. They are also constructed. Only one thing that is not constructed is nibbana, the cessation of the whole craving. Everything constructed. Or the sankata, I would use the word sankata, I mean there is no, this says composite over here. It's made of something. It is made of something. Even the stream enters path and all those things, it is made. Going through the eightfold path, arrive at that one, arrive at the right view, and there is. But that the difference between that those views and the other views is that it doesn't actually create any merits or demerits.
It's, but there is a future all the time, even with so on, there is a future because
It doesn't actually create the future. It is it is like a weapon. It is just chopping it off, that future, because that your view is broken at that time. Therefore, you don't have any energy to go in that one. But that you have some anusaya, the tendency, to attachment, and those things are there, therefore they are being born. So they do not have craving that I want to be born or something like that one in that sense. For example, never returner does not have that. But there is this the tendency. So the Aryan Eightfold Way, friend Visakha, is composite. Now, lady, are the three classes arranged in accordance with the Aryan Eightfold Way, or is the Aryan Eightfold Way arranged in accordance with three classes? These three classes are the wisdom, virtue, and concentration, those three classes. So, is this Dhamma, this Eightfold Path, Dhamma in Eightfold Path, is it arranged in these three classes? Friend Visakha, the three classes are not arranged in accordance with the Aryan Eightfold Way. So three classes are three classes. It's not arranged in the Eightfold Way. But the Aryan Eightfold Way is arranged in accordance with the three classes. So Eightfold Path Buddha has arranged. This is the Buddha's construction. Buddha found this Dhamma, right? Buddha uncovered this one, and that if you can say, it's a Buddha's construction. Buddha created this one for us and led it to the Nibbana. So that Eightfold Path is arranged in accordance with three classes. Whatever, friend Visakha, is the right speech, whatever is right action, whatever is right way of living, these things are arranged in the class of moral habits, that is virtue. And whatever is right effort, whatever is right mindfulness, whatever is right concentration, though the latter three is the concentration class. These things are arranged in the class of concentration. And whatever is right to you, whatever is right thought, the first two, these things are arranged in the class of intuitive wisdom. So, you see that the first one and the second one, if you look at, there are different ways to look at this one. So, if you look at the first one, that the right view, that I see that everything is suffering, birth is suffering, aging is suffering, sickness is suffering, right? So, having seen that these things are suffering, and then I see the craving is the cause of suffering, and then I don't want to have craving. So, then I go for thought of renunciation, right? Because, so that first right view create the right thought, and this both are class under that one. And there are different analysis though, that the sometimes the right view and the right mindfulness is class under wisdom as well. So, because from the mindfulness one would remember. So, and what lady is concentration? What the distinguishing marks of concentration? What are the requisite for concentration? What is the development of concentration? Whatever, friend Visakha, is one pointness of mind, this is concentration. Chitta ekagata, that is the concentration. The four arisings of mindfulness are the distinguishing marks of concentration, the mindfulness. The four right efforts are the requisite for concentration. Whatever is the practice, the development, the increase of these very things, this is here in the development of concentration. So you can see that in this analysis, the Dhammadinna, great Dhammadinna was saying, the four right efforts are the requisite for concentration. I get the concentration, the requisite condition is this, is the right efforts. From the effort, the concentration, right? It's with the word is samadhi parikkara. Parikkara is the Pali word over there. And there is another discourse in Anguttara Nikaya, the book of 7. It's called Samadhi Parikkara Sutra. And in Samadhi Parikkara Sutra, it says that 1 to 7, right view, right thought, right up to right mindfulness, that's the requisite condition for the concentration. Buddha said that one, right? But in this particular instance, that it is our question is probably asking in a different way, so that has to be separated. Probably this may be the strongest one that lead to the concentration. Then remember, Buddha said many times, if someone got the right effort, the effort has arisen before, then whenever one become mindful, the rapture arises, and then the mind becomes concentrated. So the effort should be there as a requisite condition, like that, you know, to arrive at this one. And how many activities are there, lady? There are these three activities, friend Visakha: activities of body, activities of speech, activities of mind. And so that is this sankhara, kaya sankhara, vachi sankhara, chitta sankhara. And what lady is activity of body? And what activity of speech? What activity of mind? So in-breathing and out-breathing, friend Visakha, is activity of body. Initial thought and discursive thought, initial application, sustained application, is activity of speech. Perception and feeling is activity of mind. So, chitta sankara. But what, why lady, is in-breathing and out-breathing activity of body? Why is initial thought and discursive thought activity of speech? Why is perception and why is feeling activity of mind? In-breathing and out-breathing, friend Visakha, these are bodily things. We breathe in, breathe out is depending on the body. Things depending on the body. Therefore, in-breathing and out-breathing is activity of body. So, you can see that the Anapanasati Sutta, that when the mindfulness of breathing, so the tranquilizing body is that the tranquilizing this in-breathing and out-breathing. Having first had initial thought and discursive thought, one subsequently utters a speech. Therefore, initial and discursive thought is activity of speech. First, we got to have the initial application, sustained application for something, and then we speak. Perception and feeling, these are mental things dependent on mind. Therefore, perception and feeling is each activity of mind. And according to Abhidhamma, the chitta sankara, so we are talking about the activity of mind, chitta sankara is mano sanchetana. So you can see that over here sanna and vedana, that is feeling and perception, is the chitta sankara. So you can see there is a strong connection between the sanya and chetana. If there is no sanya, no perception, no volition. So depending on the sanya, you get this the volition. And again, in the Abhidhamma, it says, all dhamma connected with mind, apart from initial thought and sustained thought, are chitta sankara. So anything connected with the mind, the initial application, sustained application, leave that two out, the contact, feeling, perception, volition, and then the attention, all those things become chitta sankara. The craving also chitta sankara.
Sanya is not only the visual ones.
Sanya is, it could be a form, sound, smell, taste, and then the feeling, we perceive the feeling, and apart from feeling also there is perception. So it's the biggest thing. And that's the one that we take wrong most of the time. We have this bad perception, this perception that this is fair in the foul, and then the perception of that the pleasure while it is displeasure, and so on. So those are the bad ones. And how, lady, does there come to be an attainment of the stopping of perception and feeling? That is this Nirodha Samapatti. Friend Visakha, it does not occur to a monk who is attaining the stopping of perception and feeling, I will attain the stopping of perception and feeling. Oh, I am attaining the stopping of perception and feeling. Oh, I have attained the stopping of perception and feeling. For his mind has been previously so developed in that way that it leaves him to live on the state of being such. So he, before attaining that one, he actually look at that whether he has got the lifespan and all those things. And then he has sort of preparation for that, and then from that one he attained this thing. By the time of attaining, he does not know or think that I am now attaining this one and I attain this thing. Friend Visakha, when a monk is attaining, but lady, when a monk is attaining the stopping of perception and feeling, what things are stopped first? activity of body, or activity of speech, or activity of mind. Friend Visakha, when a monk is attaining the stopping of perception and feeling, activity of speech is stopped first. So, initial application, sustained application, those things are stopped first. Then the activity of body, that is the in-breathing and out-breathing. You know, when you reach the, even in the third jhana, the second jhana, initial application, sustained application is stopped. And then one would reach the fourth jhana level, and then the in-breathing and out-breathing is stopped. The vitakka vichara, yeah.
Isn't it stopped or is it calmed down?
The initial application sustained.
No, the
breathing.
Yeah.
Breathing is actually, it is you can't actually detect that you are actually breathing in and breathing out, because it says in breathing and out breathing is stopped. Okay, it's not the whole thing is stopped in the sense. It's like that nose is connected to the air. You don't need to breathe in. Because why do we need to breathe in? We need to breathe in very heavily when you do something, right? You need to breathe in when some people are sigh, you know, when they sigh sort of thing. You know, I got a big problem. Oh, my dog died or something. So they get the big breath, right? So those are related to the craving. But this state we are talking about is, you are so refined. You are not doing anything. You are just removing all the cravings at that time. You are not paying any attention to these things. So therefore his mind is in a perfect condition and it's sort of so relaxed that you don't need to breathe. Sort of thing. So the activity of mind, that is the sanya, chetana, vedana, those stopped. How lady does there come to be emergence from attainment of the stopping of perception and feeling? When Visakha, it does not occur to a monk who is emerging from attainment of feeling, perception and feeling. I will emerge from attainment of stopping of perception and feeling. I am emerging, or I have emerged. For his mind has been previously so developed in that way that it leads him onto the state of being such. So they set the time before, like an alarm clock that we do, they set the time that after 7 days or 1 hour that I come out of this one. So therefore that time elapses and then they come out. But lady, when a monk is emerging from the attainment of stopping of perception and feeling, what things arise first? Activity of body, or activity of speech, or activity of mind? Those things were stopping before. Now what comes? Friend Visakha, when monk is emerging from attainment of stopping of perception, perception and feeling, activity of mind arise first. So that was the one stopped last. Now that one is the first. Now it's in the reverse order. The activity of body is the second. So in breathing and out breathing come to arise, and then the activity of speech, the initial thought and the sustained thought comes to arise. Vitakka vichara. Lady, how many impingements assail a monk who has emerged from the attainment of the stopping of perception and feeling? Friend Visakha, when a monk has emerged from the attainment of the stopping of perception and feeling, 3 impingements assail him. Impingement, that is void. Sunyato. Void is sunyato. Impingement, that is signless. Animitto. That there is no sign of permanency. The sunyato, that nothing is mind. You know that everything, matter, feeling, all those things are removed from the mind. So it is empty. Emptiness. And then impingement, that is undirected. It is actually... that is desireless, there is no desire. Basically, someone who is attaining these things, they normally go into the seventh jhana concentration, where he has removed all the things, seventh and then eighth and come back or something, and then at that particular time, thinking about this, if I read the seventh and then I think about the impermanent nature, contemplate the impermanent nature, then one would treat the anamitto, that is signless. There is no sign of permanency in anything. Oh, if I say he's holding that this, there is nothing in it, so that's the voidness. If we contemplate sovereign nature at that time, then one would reach this desireless. Well, lady, the mind of a monk has emerged from the attainment of the stopping of perception and feeling towards what does his mind tend, slide and gravitate? Friend Visakha, the mind of a monk who has emerged from the attainment of the stopping of perception and feeling tends, slides, gravitate towards aloofness, viveka. That they want to have this aloof from everything. How many feelings are there, lady? There are these three feelings, Friend Visakha. Feeling that is pleasant, feeling that is painful, feeling that is neither painful nor pleasant. And what, lady, is feeling that is pleasant? What feeling that is painful? What feeling that is neither painful nor pleasant? So there are three kinds of feelings that we discussed a little while ago. That Friend Visakha, which is experienced whether by body or mind, and is pleasant, sukham, and agreeable, sata. That this is pleasant feeling. Agreeable. The feeling got to be agreeable. So when it is agreeable, we say it is pleasurable. Agreeable to what? Agreeable to something that I have cooked before. So therefore I am saying this is agreeable to me, right? And that Friend Visakha, which is experienced, whether by body or mind, and is painful and disagreeable. This is painful feeling. So this agreeability is also that I have made up before, that these kind of things are not agreeable to me, is not acceptable for me. So therefore, whenever that person or someone coming in, because having rejected that person or something before, it just produced this one as a disagreeable thing. It's all mind-made thing. And nothing happened. I mean, take two persons. One is so dear and lovely to some you, and someone you do not like, you hate sort of thing. When these two people are coming in, I mean, nothing happened. That none of them, they didn't touch you, they didn't kiss you, they didn't hit you, right? It's just mind constructed these things. I don't like this guy, I like this guy. They didn't give you anything at that time. It's just mind is making it up. This is agreeable, this is not agreeable. So, that Friend Visakha, which is experienced whether by body or mind, and is neither agreeable nor disagreeable, this is a feeling that is neither painful nor pleasant. So that's the neutral feeling. But lady, how is pleasant feeling? How painful? How is painful feeling? Painful. How pleasant? How is neutral feeling pleasant? How painful? So the conditions for the feeling is asked. Friend Visakha, pleasant feeling is that where pleasantness is lasting. It's a really nice definition over here. Pleasant feeling, pleasantness is lasting. Pain is variable. Pain change. I was in the pain, let's say I'm sick. I was in pain and I got some medicine. Now the pain passed away, so I'm saying that it's pleasurable, right? And as soon as I get the pain, so the pleasure is not lasting, pain arises. So that is the definition of this pleasant feeling. Pleasant. Painful feeling is that where pain is lasting. Pleasantness is variable. Neutral feeling is pleasant as to knowing, painful as to not knowing. So that's the one we were discussing little while ago about the neutral feeling. That even the neutral feeling is pleasant if we know that one. What we know, if we know the impermanent nature, suffering nature and so on, that one, that particular feeling, neutral feeling, is perfect. Because then you are going out of the pleasure, displeasure, domnas, somnas, you know, that all those things, that you are in the fourth jhana and above. And if you do not know, if I sit on a chair or something like that one, if I do not know about this chair, and that is going to break, that I have no knowledge of that one, then I just have the neutral feeling about this one, and it's not extending to any other chairs or anything like that. So knowing and not knowing is the thing. So ignorance always lies latent in this neutral feeling. But lady, what tendency lies latent in pleasant feeling? What tendency lies latent in painful feeling? What tendency lies latent in neutral feeling? Friend Visakha, tendency to attachment lies latent in pleasant feeling. A tendency to repugnance lies latent in painful feeling. A tendency to ignorance lies latent in neutral feeling. So the pleasurable feeling, there is always tendency to attachment. Displeasure, I have the aversion, you know, the repugnance. And then the ignorance is less in the other one. I mean, we are most of the time we are in that feeling. I mean, if you think about movements that you have for a day, do you get the pleasure or displeasure? Most of the time, this ignorant nature is there because it's a neutral thing. Unless you contemplate, this is what it is. But lady, does the tendency to attachment lie latent in all pleasant feeling? This is a really good one lead to understanding. Do we need to get rid of the attachment? The tendency to attachment lie latent in all pleasant feeling. Every pleasant feeling, whatever the pleasant feeling they are in the world for me, do I cling to that one? Is there the tendency to attachment? Does the tendency to repugnance lie latent in all painful feeling? Does tendency to ignorance lie latent in all neutral feeling? Friend Visakha, tendency to attachment does not lie latent in all pleasant feeling. The tendency to repugnance does not lie latent in all painful feeling. A tendency to ignorance does not lie latent in all neutral feeling. So it's not there for every feeling. But lady, what is to be got rid of in a pleasant feeling? What is to be got rid of in painful feeling? What is to be got rid of in neutral feeling? So the meaning of the previous one is actually discussed later on. The tendency to attachment, friend Visakha, is to be got rid of in pleasant feeling. A tendency to repugnance is to be got rid of in painful feeling. A tendency to ignorance is to be got rid of in neutral feeling. So, regarding these three feelings, tendency to attachment, aversion, and the ignorance has to be got rid of. Now, the next question is really nice. But lady, is a tendency to attachment to be got rid of from every pleasurable feeling? Think about it. Do we need to get rid of the attachment? Tendency to attachment from every pleasurable feeling. Do we need to get rid of it? Yes? Okay, no. Answer is no. I mean that when I was, before I read this one, I'm talking about 10-15 years ago, before I read this one, I had the same view that I need to get rid of from every pleasurable feeling, I need to get rid of the tendency to attachment. It is not so.
How about the pressure that we get meditation.
That's what it is. That's
the access to be.
Now look, the answer. His answer is given. So right, is the tendency to repugnance to be got rid of from every painful feeling? Is the tendency to ignorance to be got rid of from every painful feeling? Those three questions were asked regarding these feelings. Each feeling has got something underlying tendency. Do I have to get rid of from everyone? And no, friend Visakha, a tendency to attachment is not to be got rid of from every pleasant feeling. A tendency to repugnance is not to be got rid of from every painful feeling. A tendency to ignorance is not to be got rid of from every neutral feeling. In this case, friend Visakha, a monk, aloof from pleasures of the senses, aloof from unskilled state of mind, enters on and abides in the first meditation, which is accompanied by initial thought and discourse with it, is born of aloofness and is rapturous and joyful. It is by this means that he gets rid of attachment. No tendency to attachment lies latent there. So you have the tendency to attachment regarding, let's say, food or something. Now how do I get rid of that one? If I attain the first jhana concentration, I don't care about that food at all, because this is more rapturous, pleasurable than that thing, right? So I am so happy over here compared to that food or whatever this thing. So I get rid of this attachment by means of this thing. If this thing was not there, there is no path for me, because that there is no pleasure for me outside. Therefore, I stick into whatever thing available. But since there is, one can get rid of. And then the next one, in this case, when Visakha, a monk reflect thus, surely I entering on it will abide in that plane which is the RN's entering on, and are now abiding in, from setting up yearning for the incomparable deliverances, there arises as it result of the yearning distress. Is it by this means that he get it of repugnance? No tendency to repugnance lies latent here. So it is that the second one is that, do I have to get rid of the tendency to aversion from the every displeasure feeling? I have displeasure. Do I have to get rid of the displeasure from everyone? No. Because that, let's say someone is meditating. That person who is meditating, now he thinks, I am meditating. How many years I have been meditating? I still haven't attained anything, right? That one is thing. That monks, the RNs, in the Buddhist monks, for example, RNs, they abide in really nice, you know, the deliverance. They attain that one. When would I attain that one? So there is this domnas, or the repugnance about this one. But it's a good one. It is not even that is a craving. That craving is a good one, producing the good results, and you don't get the bad come out of that one. So that domnas, that repugnance, is a good one to use. And in this friend Visakha, monk by getting rid of joy and by getting rid of anguish, by the going down of his former pleasures and sorrow, enters and abides in the fourth meditation, which is neither anguish nor joy, and which is entirely purified by equanimity and mindfulness. It is by this means that he gets rid of ignorance. No tendency to ignorance lies here. So he contemplated, you know, and then he went into the fourth jhana level. So the pleasure, displeasure all cease. So he's in a perfect one, and it is his knowledge is about the, you know, the chairs, every chair, not only this chair sort of thing. So, but lady, what is the counterpart of pleasant feeling? Friend Visakha, the counterpart of pleasant feeling is painful feeling. So feeling, pleasure, displeasure. And what lady is the counterpart of painful feeling? Friend Visakha, the counterpart of painful feeling is pleasant feeling. The other way around. And what lady is the counterpart of neutral feeling? Ignorance, friend Visakha, is the counterpart of neutral feeling. So you can see the ignorance is the other part. And what lady is the counterpart of ignorance? Knowledge, friend Visakha, is the counterpart of ignorance. And what lady is the counterpart of knowledge? Freedom, Visakha, is the counterpart of knowledge. So we got this ignorance, avijja, and then we got the vijja. And then there is this vijja, we have vimukti. So it goes like that. And what lady is the counterpart of freedom? Nibbana, friend, is the counterpart of freedom. And what lady is the counterpart of Nibbana? Is there a counterpart of Nibbana? And then Dhammadinathera said, this question thus goes too far, friend Visakha. It is beyond the compass of an answer. There's no answer beyond that point. Friend Visakha, the Brahmafaring is for emergence in Nibbana, for going beyond to Nibbana, for culminating Nibbana. Friend Visakha, if you so desire, having drawn near the Lord, asking about this matter, as the Lord explains, so will you remember. So then the lay follower Visakha, having rejoiced in what the nun Dhammadinna had said, having thanked her, rising from his seat, having greeted her, keeping his right side towards her, drew near the Lord. Having drawn near, having greeted the Lord, he sat down at a respectful distance. As he was sitting down at a respectful distance, the lay fellow Visakha told the Lord the whole of the conversation he had with the nun Dhammadinna. When he had been told, the Lord spoke thus to the lay fellow Visakha, clever Visakha is the nun Dhammadinna of great wisdom. Visakha is the nun Dhammadinna. If you had asked me, Visakha, about this matter, I too would have answered exactly as the Dhammadinna answered. And this is indeed the meaning of that. Thus, do you remember it? So, Dhammadinna was a very clever and great wisdom and explained this one. And this one was really good for a person who, you know, learning about the five aggregates and the sakkaya and these feelings, you know, is used. greater knowledge about that.
The cessation of root, that matter, this ahara is...
Yeah, nutriment.
Nutriment.
Yeah.
And we have been, said after a few months back that anything arising out of ignorance, karma, and then
nutriment,
then
the craving,
and the arising.
Arising, yeah.
And so, is it different or the same thing?
Well, it's the same thing. How, I mean, this particular, if someone says that this arising is there, so it's arising. How do you get the nutriment? You get the nutriment from craving. There's no other way to get the nutriment. We earn, we go for it, look for it, so that one arises. Then the farmer cultivates it, right, out of craving. So, all those things because of the ignorance. So, yeah. It's in the Sammaditti Sutta. Sammaditti Sutta, then the nutriment and the arising of nutriment is also there. And there is, there's another discourse I can't remember. Yeah. So the arising of the nutriment itself is the craving. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, we will stop for today then.